So it's been a treat for Casey and me to be here, and so if this is your first night here, I'm Scotty, my wife Casey here on the front row that will not like me if I have her stand and wave, but she's not Mark and she's the other person on the front row, but that's where she is and who she is. If we haven't met you yet, we'd love to meet you. We'll try to be at maybe the table Pastor Mark referenced after service tonight. I'll pull up a slide if you want to stay connected. Here's one of the ways that we can do it through social media. I think that they have that slide. I think they do. If not, that's okay. I see it on that screen. Okay, there it is right there. So I'll just draw attention to the one that Casey does called mothergood.us. And she has a real heart for moms. And as Pastor Mark mentioned, we have six children, so put us on your prayer list, if you would. That would be great. We have weddings that are in the near future, college that is happening now, so I'm just praying for the rapture to happen before all of that. So just, but anyway, we love the privilege of being parents, and so thankful that our six children are loving and serving God. And so she just shares life through her page there. So if you're a mom, you want to be encouraged, and you could just check that out. But he mentioned our older daughter, Candace, has written three books. We brought one of them there in the back as a book. It's a memoir for teenage girls, and I think that'll bless any of the young ladies in your life. And then Kelly Grace, our second daughter, is a worship leader, and she's written like over 30 songs from her devotional time and loving Jesus. And her very first one that she recorded, we brought that. We have it with us, so that's there in the back. So you could check that out if you would like to. Well, probably the most spiritual thing that you hear tonight is that several of you have asked me to state one more time the ingredients of the Andy's frozen custard that I like. So in order to ensure we do not quench the spirit, let me give you just one more time what it is. And I had people asking about it, and I was kind of stumbling over it because I told you I had to like reverse engineer that to figure out what was in it. But here's how I order it. You order a snow monster and switch out the strawberries with cherries and add a half a pump of caramel. Can we all just come to the altar right now and just receive all the blessing that God has for us? So anyway, that's Andy's frozen custard. Check out one near you. I should get like a kickback or something from Andy's. You know, all this talking about it, they should. Well, everybody turn to your neighbor right now and say, God is calling you to missions. God is calling you to missions. Tell them that. Turn to the person on the other side and say, you look like a missionary. You just got that look. You just look like you would be a good missionary. So when I was younger, I heard this little thought. Some of you heard this as old. You like all your little catchy saying, yeah, I've heard it before. When I heard it, it was just revolutionary for me. It was just power. But I heard that thought. You're either a missionary or you're a mission field. Anybody heard that before? Anybody heard a few? You're either a missionary or you're a mission field. And I heard that and I thought, well, I'm pretty sure I'm saved. So I guess that makes me a missionary. When I started off in youth ministry, I didn't come busting into the youth ministry scene with all of this confidence in terms of youth pastoring skills. I'm not from a ministry family. My dad wasn't a pastor. I didn't know how all of this worked. And yet I was fired up for Jesus. How many of y'all, when got saved, you got for real saved? Anybody just like, you got for real saved? Some of y'all got tiptoed into it and then look back one day and be like, I guess I'm here. Some of y'all did a cannonball. I mean, people that you used to run with, they looked at you like, man, you're on something. You drank some Kool-Aid somewhere. I don't know what happened. And it was just drastic. Man, I got so full on saved, so fired up for Jesus. And yet the call of God on my life to go into ministry was progressive for me. I kind of discovered it over time. And when it comes to feeling adequate, maybe I'll talk about this a little bit more in the message here in a minute, we'll see. But I can just tell you, I was definitely doing some on-the-job training and just figuring it out as I was going. As a matter of fact, the first time that I ever baptized anyone, I was trying to remember everything that my Bible college professor had told us. He's like, have them come, have them in the tank, you greet everyone, you let them share a testimony, you say, now we're going to pray, and then you baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. You have them, then you take their arm and just this, make sure you go. And so I'm just like, I'm trying to remember everything. I'm just nervous. I'm only have to, okay, all right. And so I had somebody get in the tank there, and I said, we're going to pray for you. I said, but before we do, share a testimony. And then they had to stop, kind of catch their breath and turn around and share their testimony. Then they got back, and here it comes time. And as we're going down, I look and realize I'd left my watch on. Because you know why? Professor didn't say nothing about my watch. Had he warned me, it would have been in my notes, and I would have remembered. But instead, as I was going down, I looked down, I was like, oh, no. So I took this young lady down, and I was staring at my watch. Got really close to the water. I said, we're going to have to come on right back up. And when I did, I realized all I had done was baptize her left ear. That's all that she got saved that day. The only thing really dedicated to the Lord is just right here. I pray over time that it grew. I remember the first youth trip, going to take the students on trip. It's what you're supposed to do in youth ministry. You get students, you go on a trip. It's what you're supposed to do. And students started showing up, and they said, Pastor Scotty, should we put the stuff, our stuff here on the van? Paused and had this internal process going on in my mind as I was thinking. I wasn't saying it out loud, but I was thinking. And so I said, yeah, just going out there for a little bit. I'll be back in touch with you in just a minute. They closed the door. I thought, stink, I forgot to rent the van. I forgot. Students are showing up. Don't even have a van. So I just, you know, y'all just hang out here a little bit. I'm gonna be back in just a little bit. I'll be back. Y'all just hang tight. Took off to the rental car place. I got there. I see. I need a 15 passenger van right now. Actually, if I could get one, they're like, we do have one. I said, thank you, Lord. He said, I just need your driver's license. Gave it to him. Dude started laughing. He said, you're not old enough to rent the van, and handed it back to me. So then I called a friend. Said, hey, man. Want to go to Chicago right now? I remember when we took the students to Six Flags, an amusement park, and I don't remember exactly how many students we had go, but I think it was 18 that we took. Came back with 17, y'all. Started doing a head count after that trip. But anyway, I look back. I had a lot of passion, a lot of zeal. First message, I stood up in a chair in front of the youth minister. I was fired up. And I said, who wants to sell out and go all out? We had about two rows of students, just these two rows right here. And I'm standing on a chair in front of them. I said, stand up right now if you want to live for God. They're all just staring at me. Nobody moved. So it was a real awkward closing prayer. Well, let's just wrap up, and we'll meet back next week. I mean, just thing after thing that made me just think, God, are you sure you picked the right one? And tonight, I want to talk to you about the fact that all of us, somebody say all of us, are called. That person next to you, they're a missionary. We honored those missionaries here tonight who full-time have given themselves to that work, and yet while we honor that, we recognize it's not on their shoulders, it's all of us have a part to play. And so I want to talk to you for a few minutes out of Exodus chapter 3, and the title for tonight is What's in Your Hand? Subtitle, God has called you to missions. So, Lord, I pray one more time because I'm really asking you tonight to do something supernatural. Would you please break our hearts for the lost? God, I'm asking that there would be a holy boldness that would rise up in hearts that would sell out, that would go all in, and that tonight, Lord, we would all say collectively, here I am, send me. I pray that no distraction, no fear, No hesitation, no lies from the enemy would keep any of us from stepping into the call of God that you have for us tonight. In Jesus' mighty name. And if you believe it, could you say a strong amen? Amen. Exodus chapter 3, if you're taking notes, you can write down for point number one, because I believe that God is going to talk to us tonight. I believe that he's going to, if we will just listen, he will speak to us. And point number one is God speaks in so many different ways. Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 through 4 will be where we kick this thing off. Number one, God speaks in so many different ways. It says, now Moses, anybody heard of Moses? Wave at me if you've heard of Moses. Anybody heard of Moses? All right, several of us, we know good old Mo. Now, Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. He had led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Now, see, we know our Bible so well, we're like, yep. But come on, y'all, think about that for a minute. Moses saw that the bush was on fire, and yet it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I'll go over there and see what this strange sight is all about. Why this bush does not burn up. And verse 4, it says, when the Lord saw, check this out. When the Lord saw that Moses had gone over to look, then God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. Do you know why he said his name twice? Me either, because it doesn't say it in Scripture. It just said, he said, Moses, Moses. But I wondered, and here's what comes to my mind. I mean, if that's me, and it's a bush, and there's a voice coming from it, and if you say Scotty one time, I'm probably thinking, I'm just hearing stuff. So maybe he had to say it a second time to where Moses is like, no, I heard what I heard. And you got to recognize that this is highly unusual. I know we've heard about it so much it could seem just like routine or normal or so familiar, but this is not normal. This is supernatural. God speaking to him through a burning bush. And what I want you to hear tonight is that as God is speaking to you, there's nothing natural about that. God wants to meet with you and speak to you and me supernaturally. If you believe it, say amen. You see, when it comes to a partnership with the divine, there's nothing ho-hum about it. Nothing just common or ordinary or to be shrugged off when we say, how many of us expect that God's going to talk to us? Not, oh, yeah. Instead of pausing, like, say, what now? The supreme being of the universe wants to talk to me? Listen, if you really believe that, you might want to sit up just a little bit. You might want to grab a pen and paper. If God is going to talk to you, you might want to make a note of it. If God's going to say something, you might want to capture it. You might want to lean in, because that's what it says that Moses did, is that he saw it and that he went over to it. And when God saw that Moses was leaning in, it says, then God spoke to him. God speaks in all kinds of ways, through a burning bush, through handwriting on a wall. He can speak through a donkey, which it gives preachers like me some hope, like, okay, Lord, if you can use a donkey, you can use me. Mainly, he speaks through his word, but it's always, somebody say always, supernatural. Let's keep reading verse 4. It says, when the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Then look at verse 5. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is, and what does it say? Holy ground. And tonight, I just want you to know that you don't have to take off your shoes. As a matter of fact, can I ask you not to? Let's not do that part. But I want to suggest to you tonight that this is holy ground. And I don't say that flippantly. I mean it sincerely. This is holy ground because the presence of the Lord is here. Do you believe that tonight? You really believe that? I really do. Like, God is in this place in a unique way. God is everywhere. He's omnipresent. He is everywhere all the time. And we've kind of referenced this in different ways over the last few days, so I'll reiterate it. But for those that are new, we've really just acknowledged the fact that we don't worship this building or this place, but there's no denying the fact that God has set his hand on this place, and this place has been used mightily by God as a place of encounter with his presence. So you've heard different speakers maybe from time to time or even tonight asking for a show of hands. How many of you were saved here? How many of you were filled with the Holy Spirit? How many of you were healed here? These different things. And hands keep flying up. What can we say except for God really seems to use this place? I mean, the lake is beautiful. The lake is great. Matter of fact, y'all got some serious cafeteria food going on today. I told Pastor Mark today, I said, man, I could handle this. If this is cafeteria food, I'm good. It was good. It's not about the food. It's not about the activities. What made you want to show up at this place is the fact that you know all that's set apart. Stuff happens in that place. It's holy ground. And when God sees you leaning in and sees me leaning in, it may be during the sermon. It may be during the altar. It may be tonight while you're falling asleep. It may be while you're taking a walk, but as God sees you leaning in, I believe he's going to talk to you over the course of your time here. I've already been praying for Pastor Allen and Pastor Mark as they're going to be, Mark's wife, they're going to be speaking over the next few days and the different services as Pastor Dave is being used in more. God is speaking, and he speaks in so many different ways. Exodus 3, back to the stories, pick up with verse 7. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I'm concerned about their suffering. And then to verse 10, he says, so now, go. I am sending you to Pharaoh. And what was the purpose? To bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. I want to read that verse again. It says, so now, somebody shout now. Go, somebody shout go. And he says, I am sending you, and he says that, to Moses. Point number two, if you're taking notes, write it down. God's plan for reaching the world is you, and it's me. For this story, he's saying to Moses, you're the one I'm calling. You're the one. I'm dialing up your number, Moses. I'm calling you. I know about the oppression of my people, and God is a God of compassion. He's hearing the cries of his people. His heart is stirred and moved. He says, Moses, I'm sending you. And I'm saying here at this family camp tonight, here at Lake Geneva, that God looks at this world, and there are so many people who are in bondage. The billions of people we just saw in the video, they've never heard the name Jesus once. How many times have you heard the name of Jesus? How many Bibles do you have at your house? How many sermons have you heard over the years? And there are billions of people who have never heard the gospel once. God looks at us tonight and says, and I'm choosing you. Like, Lord, I'm only 14 years old. Or God, I'm in retirement age. Lord, I've lived my full life, and I'm in my 70s, I'm in my 80s. God says, I'm sending you, not the person next to you, not the person behind you. I want everybody in the room just to say it out loud right now. I want everybody to say, I'm called. God's plan for reaching the world is you and me. Our go, I'm sending you, we find in the New Testament. It's called the Great Commission, Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. Where Jesus says to his followers, therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations. Somebody say all of them. all of the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. It's the Great Commission, and understand, when Jesus is telling his followers, go into all the world, he's not just talking to pastors. He's not just talking to a select group of missionaries. He's talking to every single person who has been changed by the power of Jesus Christ. You've been born again. Who's looking forward to heaven? Come on, who's excited, looking forward to heaven? I can't wait to get there. But until there, I'm still here. You ever wondered why? You're still here? Because I've thought about this. How cool would it have been right when you get saved, you're praying the sinner's prayer. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. How cool would that be, y'all? You know, worship team's playing, I can only imagine. And Jesus is like, you don't even have to. Hey! He's so awesome. But when you and I open our eyes, we're still here. Have you ever wondered why? Because you're either a missionary or you're a mission field. Your heart is still beating because you're still on mission. Not so that you can be a good person or go to a good church or raise good kids. You're on a mission to rescue one more person while there's still time. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 says, the Lord isn't really being slow about his promise, as some people think. No, he's being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but he wants everyone to repent. He's not slow in ending this whole thing or taking his people to heaven. He's not slow or slack. He's not just fumbling around or being detached or uninterested. He's being patient because he wants one more person to come to his hope and grace and mercy and life that's found in Jesus. 2 Peter 3, verse 15, just a few verses later, it's reiterated. And remember, like, don't forget this. Our Lord's patience gives people time to be saved. See, our God is a good, good Father. He is a compassionate God. His heart breaks for the lost today. Just like it did when he was calling Moses and his heart was broken and reaching out for his people, the Israelites. And just like God sent Moses, he's sending you and he's sending me. Hear this tonight. You and I are God's plan for rescuing the lost. We do not have the luxury of getting distracted and caught up in this world as if it's about a job or as if it's about school or as if it's about sports or as if it's about trying to save up enough money for retirement. No. All those things can take away from the one reason your heart is still beating, and that is to reach one more person with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So God says to Moses, I'm sending you. Interestingly, similarly to Moses, a lot of us can relate, and we're like Moses in that when we get the call, he was so preoccupied with himself, he couldn't even truly hear or receive or embrace the call from God. Look at what he says in verse 11. But Moses said to God, remember what did God say? He said, my heart, I'm hearing this, they're oppressed, go, I'm sending you. I'm choosing you. It says, but Moses said to God, verse 11, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? Well, that can sound humble. Oh, I don't know. Who am I? But you know what? You can think too highly of yourself. You can think too lowly of yourself. God's just saying, would you quit thinking about yourself? Would you stop questioning everything that God's calling you to do? Well, Lord, I don't know if I'd be able to. I don't know if I'm the right one. Lord, I don't know if that's my feel. Like other people may care for the foster care. Other people may be called to adopt, or other people may be called to Chi Alpha. Other people may be called to youth pastor. Lord, I barely survived those years of my own life. I don't want to go back. Don't send me back. Other people may be called to kids ministry. Lord, you know I break out in hives. Lord, you know I'm allergic to it. Lord, you know that I can't do it. All of these responses. God speaking to him supernaturally. You can't take it for granted. You can't smooth on. You can't blow past that. Talking to him supernaturally. He says, go, I'm sending you. Instead of Moses being like, wow, you're so big. You're so powerful. You can talk through a bush. You can talk through somebody like me. Here I am. Send me. He says, well, I don't know. Point number three, write it down. God is not looking for ability, but availability. Another little catchy saying that you've heard in a sermon previously. Maybe you heard it at a youth camp. God's not looking for ability, he's looking for availability. You're like, well, why are you saying that again? Because it couldn't be more true. And my life proves this point. I'm living proof of this. I gave you just a little sample at the beginning of me stepping into the call of God on my life. And for the sake of dignity, I had to just cut it off and not tell you the other 500 stories that I could share with you. But here's the reality. By nature, I'm shy. By nature, I'm introverted. Growing up, I didn't have all this confidence, like, I'm going to take over the world. I'm going to be a youth pastor. I'm going to be a speaker. I'm going to speak at camps. Nothing like that. Shy, introverted, not wanting to be embarrassed, not wanting people looking at me. I had to get over myself when God started calling my name and my number and realizing it has nothing to do with me. It has to do with not my ability, but my surrender. My God, if you're calling me, I'm in. Because we are like world class, like gold medalist excuse makers. God speaks something to your heart, Lord. Well, you know, Lord. Of course, you know. You know I would, typically. Lord, I hear what you're saying, and I do believe that's a legitimate need. And Lord, I want to take this moment to pray right now that you would send somebody to go and meet that need. Lord, you know I would give that, but I've got these bills over. Of course, Lord, you understand. You know all things well, Lord. Yeah, he knows. What he knows is I am just a master at excusing myself from, because I'm so focused on me instead of looking at him. And when he says, go, I'm sending you, I'm calling you. And I'm like, if you're calling me, I'm answering. Here am I, send me. Man, for me, I just had to get over me. Wasn't the smartest, wasn't the tallest, wasn't the fastest, wasn't the richest. Sometimes we can disqualify ourselves. You know the story of Moses. He's saying, I can't, and you got the wrong guy. We can disqualify ourselves so quickly. It's not about your ability. Don't let the enemy get up in your head and talk you out of what God created you to do, what he's calling you to do, what tonight he's going to be speaking to you, and yet the enemy's going to give you all of these reasons why you're too old to go to India. You're too young to make a difference on your campus. Oh, you'll never be able to. You're not smart enough to be a businessman who raises all of this capital, all this money so that you can fund the end time harvest. Oh, no, you can't do that. God's talking to you, but you're over here listening to the enemy. And then for some of us, we just think it's for the spiritual folk. You know, it's for, oh, great testimony. Oh, that missionary has as a youth pastor, it used to crack me up to see the church peer pressure for a crazy story. Do you know what I'm talking? Where are the youth pastors? Wave at me if there are any youth pastors in here. I love youth pastors. All right. Yeah, good to see. Youth pastors, you know what I'm talking about. It's the peer pressure for youth ministry. You're in a small group, and one person just starts it off, and they have a testimony. Everybody else in the group is comparing their testimony to that testimony. So somebody's like, yeah, it's just rough. You know, I come from a broken home. And so the homeschooler next with a great mom and dad sitting thinking, what do I got? What do I got? I got to come up with something. What do I have? What? One time my little brother hit me, but I thought some things I shouldn't have thought, you know, about him. And what's crazy is as you go around the circle, like the testimonies just get more and more severe. Next person's like, yeah, for me, what God saved me out of started when I was 4. Started off small, a little drinking a little bit of this, drinking a little bit of that. Can't go into detail. It's just rough. Next person, they're hearing that and like, well, for me, I was three when I joined a gang, started selling drugs to kids in the nursery. I mean, just feeling like this pressure. Because I got to have a great testimony if I'm going to make a difference. Can I tell you, whatever your story is, God just wants to use your story to tell his story. Get your eyes off of you and get them onto him. And just say, Lord, whatever I have is yours. Use me. And I'll say this to the young people. If you've made mistakes, it's okay to not be okay. And here's another one for you. It's okay to be okay. I would love for some young people, like, here's my story. I never did drugs. I never drank anything. I hadn't slept with anybody. As long as I can remember, I've been loving Jesus. Come on, adults. Who thinks that would be an awesome story and testimony for the young people today? And it's not one or the other. It's just use your story. God's not looking for the ability, for it's the availability. He's looking for men and women who would simply say, here I am, you can use me. Empty yourself, hold nothing back. Don't negotiate with God. Somebody needs to hear that tonight. Don't play less, make a deal with God. Don't hedge your bets. Don't play it safe. If you have clarity in your heart enough to know the step of faith he's calling you to take, I'm telling you, you can trust him. The safest, most blessed place in the world you can be is in the middle of God's will. Not outside of it, trying to take care of yourself. Number four, and finally, somebody can come to the keys and give the people some hope. Just come up here and start playing something really spiritual sounding, soft, anointed, just keys, because they'll start looking at everybody and going, oh, she got a cute shirt on right now. Oh, and we don't need all that right now. We just need number four. Write it down. Pay attention. Here's the point. Pay attention to what's in your hand. Pay attention to what's in your hand. This is how I'm going to wrap it up. Going back to Exodus. Now we're in chapter four. When we get to chapter 4, Moses still trying to play, let's make a deal. He's still got 100 questions. He's still asking about all of the what ifs instead of just jumping in and saying, send me. Moses answers Exodus 4:1. What if they don't believe me or listen to me and say, the Lord did not appear to you? Like, he's just thinking all this through. Like, he's just got a lot of questions. And says, then the Lord said to him, what is that in your hand? Moses was holding his staff, his stick. He says, a staff. And the Lord said, throw it on the ground. You got to track with this because you can't be so familiar with it that you miss the emotion of it. Moses threw it on the ground, and it became a snake. And he ran from it. Don't you love it when the Bible just says something really just like, you're like, I bet he did. You know, it just says in the Bible, became a snake. And then he had, because, you know, Moses writing this, he's like, and he ran from it. Anybody else like me? I said this the other day, you just don't like snakes? Come on, wave at me if you don't like snakes. Yeah, just, I'd be running from it, screaming at it. What's the Lord doing here? It says, then the Lord said to him, reach out your hand and take it by the tail. Now, see, that's where I would have had some questions. Like, Lord, I'll go to Pharaoh. I'll punch him in the throat if you want me to. But I'm going to need you to go ahead and pick the snake up. I mean, I just would have been like. And it says, so Moses reached out and took hold of the snake, and it turned back into a staff in his hand. This, said the Lord, is so that, somebody say so that. See, God's going to give you some so that's. That right now you couldn't imagine. Give Moses a year and 5 million questions, thoughts, scenarios. He doesn't come up with this one. I think he's probably going to use this stick. I think this is the ticket. I think this is going to be the tool. This is going to be it. I think it's going to turn into a snake, and whenever it does, so that, no, he had, and I need you to hear that, because the so that God has for you is so beyond natural thinking and comprehension. If you try and math it, the math won't math. It won't work. Are you tracking with me, friends? When God calls you into his supernatural work, he's speaking to some of you right now, and it's just a guy up here talking about the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart. In just a few minutes, you're going to be on your face before God. You're going to be kneeling at your chair, and the whispers of the Holy Spirit, that's supernatural. God is going to be talking to you. It's going to be supernatural. For some of you, a friend, a leader who's in here is going to come over and be like, I feel this in my heart, and speak over you. You're going to be like, that's confirmation. That's the Holy Spirit speaking supernaturally to your heart. It's supernatural. And I'm just telling you, it almost always will be so confusing and not make sense. So he says, pick up the snake. Okay. Picks it up. He says, this is so that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has appeared to you. Moses thought it was just a stick. He did not realize, like we often don't realize, what a stick can become when it's surrendered to our supernatural God. When our eyes are on him, we just do whatever he tells us to do. You have stuff that God has placed in your hand. All of us do. Time, talent, treasure. We all have it. We all have stuff. And when God tells you to let go of that stuff, he can take that and do something crazy miraculous with it. And he'll say to you tonight, I'm asking you to put that right there down. Let go of it. Put it on the altar. Because he's saying, because when I touch it, stuff's going to happen so that people will know what's happening in you and through you is not normal. It's beyond natural. It's supernatural. Can everybody just say right now, I'm called? I want you to pay attention to what's in your hand, because it's not just a stick. It's not just a talent to play an instrument. Well, this is just a guitar. Well, these are just keys. This is just a basketball. Oh, what do I have? This is just a good sense of humor that God's given. What do I have? A charismatic personality. I love people. What is this I have? Oh, just an analytical mind. What is this that I have? Oh, just an entrepreneurial spirit. No. Don't belittle what you have. He's just asking, will you surrender what you have and watch the supernatural work he can do through it when you give it to him? I want to encourage you, don't fall into the trap of using it for your glory. Why do you have what you have? Time, talent, treasure. Why? Why are you still here? Why? You ever just stop and ask that? Why am I still here? To live on mission. Everything that tonight is all about. That's why I'm so, am I doing why I'm still here? Am I carrying out that purpose? A couple of years ago, I was speaking at a youth camp in Texas, and one night before the service, I started having chest pains. And then they got more intense, and you know, one of the guys there had a heart attack. He started saying, so what do you feel? What is this? Well, he's like, man, you better get to the hospital. Took off to the hospital and thought I was going to die. I didn't, just so you know. I want to go ahead and let you off the hook. I can see that look in your eyes. Some of y'all started praying, helping, Lord. No, I'm all right. I made it. But you know what something like that will do? It'll cause you to step back and say, why is my heart still beating? Why am I still here? And am I carrying out the call that God has placed on my life? Don't fall into the trap of using it just to build your name. Don't worship the thing that's in your hands. Don't worship your slingshot. And don't waste it on empty, temporal, earthly pursuits that promise much but lead to emptiness. Don't compare what's in your hand with something that's in somebody else's hand. Well, if I was gifted like her, or if I was talented like him. God's not asking you what's in their hand. He's asking what's in yours. Don't downplay your role. You don't see it the way God sees it. Moses obeys, he surrenders, and the super practical becomes supernatural. Somebody say, I'm called. You're created by God and for God. He has a plan for your life. We're about to pray. There's a calling on your life. It's not just for a specific moment. It's not just for a specific task. It's a lifetime of service, a lifetime of mission. But he will speak to you about certain things or certain seasons that you have to, with faith, step into. You're created by God. You're created for God. He has a plan for your life, a calling on your life to build his kingdom, to proclaim his name. Somebody say, I'm called. We're called to live for eternity, not just for a moment. We're called to be kingdom-centered, not self-centered. Can you say amen? We're called to follow Christ, not culture. Can you say amen? We're called to obedience, not convenience. We're called to listen to the voice of God, not this world's opinions. We're called to chase purpose, not popularity. We're called to care about God's approval, not man's applause. We're called to be faithful, not famous. We're called to live on mission for such a time as this, right here, right now. Somebody say, I'm called. You're called to be a missionary. Some of you are called to be a church planter. Some of you are called to go to a foreign land. Some of you tonight, God is calling you to go to inner city Chicago. Some of you, he is calling you to be a doctor, a lawyer, a football coach. Some of you, he is speaking to you tonight about being a business person who gives lavishly, generously, not just saying, oh Lord, bless me so I can throw a little something towards the church. You will spend your life so that others can go. You'll give. Tonight, God's even increasing faith in the room for somebody who goes, I want to be supernaturally generous toward the kingdom of God. I want to be able to say to Pastor Mark over this camp, I'll pay for a whole camp. Put me down for that. You're like, that just sounds so crazy. I bet Moses thought that too when he said, grab that snake. The issue is not focus on me. It's, Lord, are you speaking that? Send me. He's speaking to somebody tonight. He's speaking to somebody tonight. And the only right response is to say, yes. Send me.